All right, so we are continuing in our sermon series called Stories. And so while we're doing that, one of kind of the main things that I wanted to do was to bring different people up here. And so Angel has agreed to help out and really be part of this. And so thank you, Angel, for helping out and just being kind of willing to be vulnerable even in front of everybody. So here's one thing that may freak all of you out. At one point, all of your small group leaders were at one time, believe it or not, your age. That's right. Yes, that's the kind of reaction that I'm looking for this morning.
Adam, that's kind of obvious.
Thank you. I just got destroyed up here. Just cut. Yeah.
Leave it to Seth.
I know. All right. So I want to let you guys know that those of us that you see up here... anybody that you see in leadership or like even like Mike, Pastor Mike, it's so funny, we call him Mike. You call him...
Just so you know, I was born when he was 14, when he was your age. Just put that in perspective.
You're like, I'm not as old as he is, just when I'm pretty
I am not.
So Angel, though, you grew up kind of around Mike, is that correct? And why is that?
He's my cousin.
Oh, man. All right, so Angel has all the stories about Pastor Mike. If you guys want to hear any, you just ask Angel. She'll tell you about how he's an amazing drummer.
He is an amazing drummer, even at Rock Band, too, not just on an actual drum set.
Not just actual drum, but he can play video games, too. Yeah. Very important skill to have. Angel, your story, I think, can relate to a lot of us that are in here, just coming from maybe a different background or not always being brought up in what we would call the Protestant church.
Right.
So that's a big word. The Protestant church.
Right.
So, anyways, as we kind of walk through her story this morning and as we talk through just a couple different things, a couple things to remind you guys that I mentioned last week. All of us in here, all of you guys, have a story to tell. And currently, you're in the middle of it. Like, so how many of you have ever heard the word testimony before? I think I asked this last week. So many of you guys have heard this. And so when we say, hey, would you share your testimony? Like, it has like a very churchy kind of connotation to it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very Christianese. But the thing is that when you hear the word testimony, really all that is saying, hey, would you share your story with me? Like, would you tell me the story of your life and how Jesus has impacted your story? That's really, I think, what a testimony is. And it isn't something that ends the moment that you decide to follow Jesus.
Right.
Yeah, your story, it goes beyond just like, well, I grew up in a Christian home, then I got saved when I was 5, and the end. Because the fact is that every single day, your life should be impacted by the person of Jesus. Like, if he has rescued you and saved you, then your life should be changed because of what he's done. And so, Angel, I would love for you to share with us, and you can even, your girls that are here, your 8th grade girls, you guys are pretty awesome.
Some of them. I think Jade is in the high school room. I think I saw her sneak into the high school.
Did she really go over there?
I'm going to have to snap her.
All right, somebody go get her. Just kidding, don't do that. That would be disruptive. Anyways, Angel, you have one of the best small groups here. Is that right?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Plus,
yeah.
Because I've had about all of them for the course of 3 years.
How many of you who are in Angel's small group think that she's like the best small group leader?
Yeah.
All 5 of them. So, but they're very loud 5. It's very impressive. So, to tell them, not just them, because I think they probably know you a little bit better than the rest of us do.
Sure.
So maybe you guys have heard some of this. I don't know. But to share with the rest of us and everybody else who's here, just kind of your growing up, just kind of maybe the beginning, the early part of your life. Mm-hmm. What was that like? What was your life like? Who was Angel? What was that like?
I grew up in a Christian home. We were Catholic. My mom was saved when I was born. My mom, my dad, my aunts, uncles, cousins, everybody was Catholic. I went to a Catholic school up through 8th grade. I did all the sacraments, went to church.
It's a big word.
It's a big word. Went to church at least twice a week. Really worked hard for my faith, worked hard to climb this ladder to get to heaven. That's what I did for 13 years of my life.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So that was kind of your upbringing was all about just kind of like getting stuff done, like making sure.
Working. Yeah, if you'd ask me in 6th, 7th, 8th grade, hey, if something happens to you, are you going to go to heaven? I would say, I sure hope so.
I
mean, I work hard at it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I think that there's some of us in here probably who have come out of the Catholic Church or who have grown up in that. And for those of you guys in here, it's super important to know just the fact that regardless of if that's where you started or if that's where most of your family is, like, it is people who believe different things than we do or slightly different things than we do are not, like, horrible people.
Right.
They may just have some wrong ideas about different things, but in the midst of that, you cannot throw out an entire group of people just because of maybe a couple experiences that you've had. Because we would ask the same thing of non-believers, of like non-Christians. We would say, hey, just because maybe you've ran into one bad Christian or somebody who says they follow Jesus, don't let that one bad experience shape your view of us. Is that fair? Like, you guys, if you guys know somebody, or maybe that is you, it's like,
That they're weird.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
I don't want somebody else's view of one person to throw off not only who they think that we are, but who Jesus actually is.
Right.
I think that's the most important thing. So you grew up Catholic and kind of following along with this, like, works-based salvation. Like, that the only way to get to heaven was, I got to do these things.
Right.
You got to show up. And you said, if somebody asks you if you're going to heaven, you're like, I hope so.
I hope so.
That sounds,
I worked hard.
I worked hard. which is not, in fact, what we believe.
Right.
So tell us, how did that transition from that, from to where you are now, kind of walk us through what that looked like.
Okay.
And yeah, just kind of that part of your story.
So in eighth grade, graduated there in eighth grade through the at the Catholic school, and had read the Book of John. That was a requirement, and the priest came in every week and taught on it, and I learned nothing. But that there were kids in my class that did learn, so I am not saying that Catholics did not learn anything. I did not learn anything. So my freshman year of high school, I was 14, and my cousin, Pastor Mike, worked at NASA, had been introduced to come to the chapel. He came to a Christmas concert, and somebody started a Bible study, a friend of his up at NASA, and he started digging into the Bible, reading some things.
Yeah, he wasn't a Christian.
He was not a Christian. He was Catholic. He actually would not marry his wife currently, unless she converted to Catholicism. He had to be married in the Catholic Church. Just to put into perspective how serious we were.
Yeah, this is a serious deal. Yeah.
This was a big deal. So he went to a Bible study. He continued to read. It really changed his perspective. He was saved, and he thought, I think I need to, you know, maybe introduce this to some of my family or anyone who's interested. So he he was going to do a study through the Book of John and do a Bible study at his house. And his mom and my mom and myself and a friend of his mom's all went to this Bible study. So I was 14, a freshman in high school, studying with some old women and Cousin Mike. And I thought, well, this is good because I just read the Book of John. This is great.
I got this.
This is easy, you know. So not to be cliche about it, but got to John 3:16 and saw that, you know, Christ did the work. It's nothing that we can do. And he loved us, that he died for us. And I paused and I looked at Mike and I said, wait a minute. Wait, this is it? Like,
that's it?
What have we been doing all this time? He goes, I know, right? You know, he said, yeah, this is it. So gave my life to Christ and prayed and left the Catholic Church and started my journey getting to know Christ better. And it's still a journey. And from that time, I'm trying to do the math, 26 years ago, All but four people in our whole family have walked away from the Catholic Church and are saved. And even actually, three of them I know for sure through many conversations and studying that they do believe Jesus Christ is their Savior. So I you know, just want to
No, that's good.
Say that. So
So they believe that, and then but then they still go to like Mass. And,
yes.
Yeah, and so that's like a super interesting kind of line to walk among them. But I mean, hopefully that belief and that hope in Jesus spreads with the people that are around them.
Right.
So
right.
And so I think that's cool. Yeah. So funny thing about that shift from works-based faith of like I got to do these things, I got to show up here, and I got to you said climb the ladder.
Right.
Like I'm like, at what point do you get to the part where like you're in heaven? Like, can you do too much?
No.
Where it's like,
no, you're
all right. Like, I'm gonna bring you home now because you're making everybody else look bad. Like, we're gonna have to end it. I don't know. It's just like, was there ever too much? But it was really kind of the opposite of that. Of like, there was never
enough
an assurance. Of
right.
Like,
no, never
I don't
an
know
assurance.
If I've ever done
no.
enough. And I think one of the beautiful things that Scripture lays out for us. Is that assurance of salvation of life.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Mike actually even talked about that this morning in main service, if you guys were in there, about how, like, when it's done, it's done. And the simplicity of it and how that was, like, kind of shocking.
So shocking because you have to remember, for 8 years in a school, I took a class and, you know, part of, you know, just like if you went go to a private school or go to Lake Center, Chapel Hill Christian, or CBCA, you know, that... You take a class, but it's learning what you need to do versus what you get to do.
Hmm. Yeah. That's a
and
really,
what Christ has done for you.
Yeah, that's a really important distinction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think so awesome that just even in the simplicity of the book of John, the fact that that's where Jesus was like, hey, angel, right here.
Right. And you just read this.
Yeah, the fact that you
like
just...
Like 6 months ago.
Yeah, like 6 months before that you just studied that, and then the simplicity of even something like John 3:16.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's beautiful and just so awesome. So for those of you who are in here, which is all of you that I'm talking to right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say...
I was going to add something, but go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Do not fall into the trap that you, like, in order to assure your salvation or in order to, like, receive Jesus, like, that there is, like, just work after work after work, or thing after thing after thing that you have to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, if you don't somehow, like, keep up with that, or if you don't, like, check the right boxes,
right,
that you lose it, like, that it's gone. Because that's not biblical at all. We're told in Scripture time and time again that there's nothing that can snatch you out of my hand. Like, it is whenever he chooses you, when he calls you, like, it's over and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I think living in that grace totally changes the way that you see yourself and the way that you see other people around you as well.
Yeah. And two things, actually, we just discussed Wednesday night in our small group. A girl shared that, you know, well, her story's boring because at 5 she prayed and accepted Christ in her bedroom. And I said, you know, I feel like my story's boring because, you know, okay, so I was raised in a Christian home. I went to church. I knew the foundations of God. And then through studying his word, became saved. But the reality is that I reminded my girls is whether you were a drug addict or in prison and then found Christ, or you were me, or just 5 years old and, in you know, raised in a Christian home, Every one of us, the drug addict, myself, the five-year-old, we were going to hell. That there was no ands, ifs, buts about it. We were all dead in our sin. We were all dead to self, and we were going to hell. So when you see the depth of your sin and when you know who you are before Christ, everybody's story is freaking amazing because you're saved. Like, you know, I mean, and it switches from legal and law to grace and a gift. And also, for me, it switched from, okay, these are the things I have to do to, oh, wow, these are the things I get to do.
Yeah.
You know, like I have to go to church because the priest would tell me, well,
you don't go.
You don't go. That's not good. And now it's like, man, I get to go to church. Like, that is in grace that I get to go do that.
Yeah, that's really, that's awesome.
And that kind of sparked, so we read this in our small groups on Wednesday. Some of us did.
Mm-hmm.
Titus 3, which I think is so, it's like a little mini gospel. Like if you're ever like, man, what does the gospel look like? I think this is another part of scripture that you can go to.
Mm-hmm.
So Titus 3, 3 through 7 says this, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness," which is what you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
"but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life."
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it. That you were once...
Right.
You were once lost. You were dead. Like it was, you were,
right.
You hated others. Others hated you. Like, and even if you think, well, I'm a pretty good person. Like,
right.
In the midst of that, like scripture tells us over and over again, there is nobody who's righteous.
Right. Nobody. Not one.
Not one
is good.
And so even if it's like, well, I do good things, like you're still spiritually mm-hmm. dead before Jesus makes you alive.
Right.
And so it's because of his mercy and not because of what mm-hmm. I did or what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's such a huge distinction for all of us in this room to make, is that there is not enough things for you to do to try to earn salvation, because that's not gonna happen. We're dead. You can't,
right.
Dead people can't do things.
And even your good works, especially apart from Christ, if you really dissect it, has got probably an evil motive.
Yeah.
I mean, because nobody is good. Nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. Even whenever, like,
we are a fallen nature.
Yeah. I'm giving money, like, I'm
mm-hmm.
giving my time, or,
right.
like, I'm trying to help this person. It's really like, well, I'm doing this so that I can, like, maybe other people see me and then think
right.
better of me personally.
Right.
And so it's a pride
right.
thing.
It's a pride thing.
Rather than,
yeah.
I want to help that person. So,
right.
Yeah. So now maybe talk to me just for a minute about how does this impact you, like, now, today? What does that look like?
So for me, you know, when Adam talks about story, you know, my story's not over, at least not yet, until I die.
Oh, God.
Right. Until I die, my story is not over.
Too hard to tell all of you today.
that's right. So I feel like, you know, so after 26 years of being a Christian, I'd like to sit up here and tell you that everything is great. And
yeah.
You know, I don't ever sin. And, mm-hmm. and the reality is that's false. You know, you have to die to self every day. My choices are different. My convictions are different with Christ. And that's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also that, you know, I'm different than I was mm-hmm. last week, I hope. And the hope is that whenever my time comes to an end, that it looks different than sitting here today.
Yeah.
You know, that Christ just continues to grow in me, and mm-hmm. I move through the power of the Holy Spirit to just continue to change and love like he does.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge. And the fact that whenever you're saved, whenever you make that decision and you say, yes, like, I believe in Jesus and
mm-hmm.
who he says that he was, that he is the Son of God, and that I need him.
Mm-hmm.
And that the only way that I'm rescued or saved is because of him. Whenever you make that confession, it changes you every day,
right.
day in and day out from then on. I spoke about that a little bit last week, and Angel, again, this week, continues to kind of drive that home to us.
Yeah.
The fact that there's, like, every day is different. My decisions are different, how
mm-hmm.
I think about other people, how I view
mm-hmm.
myself. It's all, now I see everything through the lens of Jesus's mercy
right.
and his grace.
And I think the biggest switch for me was knowing God, because I knew God prior to
yeah.
Being saved. I mean, I could tell you a lot about him. I prayed. But I think the biggest thing for me that switched was I went from rules to relationship. And that he calls us into a relationship,
yeah.
and it's not about the rules, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing for me, I think.
Yeah, that's huge. Scripture also tells a lot about kind of like the religious people
mm-hmm.
of the day.
Right.
Whenever Jesus is walking around.
And he hated them.
Yeah,
but
about all the knowledge
right.
that they had. Like,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of like, what good is all this knowledge about who God is if it does not change who you are.
Right.
If it doesn't affect who you are, the decisions that you make, the way that you treat other people, the way that you follow after him, like it should totally change everything about you. And if it doesn't, then maybe you need to kind of go back and look in the mirror and say, all right, yeah, is this my story? Have I been rescued?
Yeah.
Have I been changed by Jesus? That doesn't mean that as soon as you say, all right, Jesus, come rescue me and save me, like that everything is immediately
right.
perfect and like, and you're never going to struggle with anything again, because that's not true. As long as we're on this side of heaven, we will always struggle.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be temptation that we have to kind of fight against and deal with.
Right.
But the thing that you, like, yeah, just talked on so wonderfully was the fact that it's a process, that it's a lifelong process of looking more like Jesus. So I didn't know. Did you have anything else that you maybe wanted to add, or if not, it's all right.
Yeah.
So I think that's good. It's succinct and it's
I just think that as long as we focus on stories and testimonies that we remember. You know, that I touched on, and I think you touched on it last week, that everybody's testimony is huge.
Yep.
It's huge. I don't care what, how you got there. It's huge. And, you know, don't lose sight of that, or don't think that your testimony isn't cool, because it's super cool.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pray for us.
Okay.
And we're going to, can we thank Angel for getting up here and sharing? Yeah. Here's the cool thing, is that I would love for one day, whenever a lot of you grow up and you get older, and maybe those of you that are around or maybe even not around, like, because these are, we continue to kind of do this. Like, if you guys haven't noticed, for you eighth graders, about once every year-ish or so, like, we talk through stories and the importance of knowing your story, because it's important to know if you have been saved by Jesus or not, and then how to begin to articulate that to other people. I would love for one day to pull, like, those of you that are sitting in here up front, like, as you get older, and as you leave middle school, and you get into high school, and as you leave high school, like, that as you grow, I would love one day for, maybe it's you who are going to be sitting in this seat, and you're going to share how Jesus changed your life, and then how he's continuing to impact your life daily. That may be you. And you're sitting there and you're like, no, that would never be me. But the cool thing is that it might be. And Jesus wants to use you. Maybe not even in front of a group of people, but as you talk to others who you're constantly around, the story that you have and what Jesus has done for you is one of the most powerful things that you can share with other people. Because you were dead, and now you're alive.
Right.
And it's huge.
It's huge.
So let me pray for us. And the band's going to come up while I do that.